Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit OsbourneMediaHouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh,
you're in the madhouse now.
You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. Ladies and gentlemen, Real Paranormal Activity is proud to present The Sandman Lullaby with your host, Patrick Sean Jones.
Have you ever heard the wind go, "You"? It is a pitiful sound to hear. It seems to chill you through and through with a strange and speechless fear. It is the voice of the night that prods outside when the folk should be asleep. And when many the time I've cried to the darkness broad, far and wide, over the land and the deep, whom do you want, O lonely night, that you wail the long hours through? And the night would say in its ghostly way, "You, you, you." My mother told me long ago, when I was a little lad, that when the night went wailing so, someone had been bad. And then when I was snug in bed, whether I had sent with the blanket pulled up round my head, till I think of what my mother said, and wonder what boy she met, and who been bad today, I'd ask, of the wind and the hoarsely blue, and the voice would say in its meaningful way, "You, you, you." That this was true, I may allow. You may not believe it, though. Yes, though that I'm quite a model now, I was not always so. And if you doubt what I say, suppose you make the test. Suppose when you've been bad some day, and up to bed are sent away from mother and the rest. Suppose you ask, "Who's been bad?" And though you hear what's true, for the wind will moan in its restful tone, "You, you, you."
Something like that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Guess where you're at, duders and dudettes? You are back in the Sandman Lullaby here on RPA Network. That's the Real Paranormal Activity Network, all the way this time from Tampa, Florida. But I was trying to think of a great show for you, and I was trying to think of great legends or people I could bring to you. But to do that, I have to go all the way across the pond to do that. I think that's actually, is that what they call it, Tim?
Across the big wide ocean deep.
The big ocean. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I want to introduce you to Tim Del Peterson. He's a legend in the Tampa Bay area. He is, one of the famous bards of the area. He's all the way in Cardiff, Wales right now. And I'm sitting here watching him on a video feed right now, and he's eating as we're doing this, and I'm starving to death. But the first way I met Tim back in the day, he is the very first person that actually introduced me to haggis. And it was haggis pizza, if I do remember.
Yep.
And if you could imagine eating haggis by itself and being on pizza itself, he wandered up to me. He was like, here, laddie, why don't you try some haggis here on this pizza? You know, of course, you know, being the redneck in Florida, I'm going to sit there and go, no, that's okay. And he's like, come on, man, grow some balls. You have to try this. You got to have some balls to eat some haggis pizza. And I tried it. It wasn't that bad. It was actually very good. So, Tim, why don't you give us a little background about yourself so I can introduce you to the RPA Network fans that are out there?
Okay, well, I'm from Cardiff, Wales. And, of course, as you know, Wales is the land of song, famous for its poets and bards. And back in the day, I used to do what we call historical battle reenactment. So we used to dress up and fight the Vikings, and we'd tour all over the country. And it was the Vikings versus the Saxons versus the Normans. And everybody dressed up, and we did everything authentically. But the thing that I really got interested in was the poetry. Because, of course, in those days, everything was recorded in epic poetry.
Right.
And you weren't anybody until you had a poem written about you. And then you were enshrined in the legend of the time. And in fact, they used to say that when there was a battle, if the poet walked across the battlefield, nobody would harm him, because they knew it was like the equivalent of burning down a library, because he had all the knowledge of the tribe in him, and he had all the laws, and of course he had all the poetry that enshrined the names of the heroes, and everybody wanted to be enshrined as a hero, so nobody wanted to kill the guy that did it. So it was a great profession to have. Unfortunately, the first time I tried it out, we went to a banquet with the King of Wessex, which is Bristol, and their poet stood up and recited in Old English. So, not even regular English, he recited a poem in Old English. So I stood up and I opened a book, and I started to read translations of ancient Welsh poetry. And everybody started tutting and umming and ooh and making groans. And I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong. Well, I realized what I was doing wrong was I was reading the poetry from a book. And of course, in those days, nobody read anything.
Oh.
That was the whole thing.
So it was taboo for basically you to do it by reading it from a book.
To read from a book was just completely not acceptable.
Oh.
So I learned my lesson, and I started composing little poems about the war band of the Cantref Briennial, which was our band. We had a guy called Greg, who was our king, and he was also by profession a psychiatric nurse, so that eminently qualified him for the job. And I even got myself a little harp, so I could walk around and pluck the strings of the harp and wax lyrical about everybody. And that's how I got interested in Celtic mythology and pagan religion, really.
Well, you're the one that actually introduced me. You, another thing that Tim did, he was the original host of the show that I do on WMNF Tampa, which is called Psycho Realms. And he actually did a full reading of, God, what was it? An Old English Beowulf. Which is probably never been, which was probably never heard of in the States, done live by somebody doing it in Welsh.
Yeah.
Which was actually
in Beowulf, I think, and might even have done the Gododdin. Gododdin of Aneurin, which is a poem by 333 Welsh heroes who rode out to defend the king. And of 333 that rode out, only three came back.
Oh, really?
The two sons of Aaron, and I by dint of my brilliant poetry. So in other words, the Saxons, when they discovered the poet, they let him live so that he could go back and tell the king how utterly defeated his army had been.
Wow. Well, Tim...
And he sang the eulogy or death song of all the warriors that had been slain. Yes, Patrick, it's lovely to see you.
Well, you enjoy your coffee while I'm watching you do it. Quick question. One thing I really want to find out about this, since we're talking about dreams. Okay. Now, in your area and your expertise, when you were over here in the States and compared to where you're at right now back home in Wales, do you notice a difference in your sleep patterns or your dream patterns being from so far away from your own native land?
You know, that's an interesting question. I always used to have trouble sleeping over there. I don't know why. I don't know whether it was the heat or what. But I used to find it difficult to sleep when I was in America, as opposed to over here, where I do really well. but I can't say I noticed a huge difference in my dreams, because when I was dreaming, I would always go to the same place, the realm of dreams, and I guess we have a universal attachment to that place, wherever it is. So there may be many ways in there, but it's always the same place when you get there.
So where do you think dreams come from?
Well, I read somewhere that's supposed to be the mind emptying itself of unnecessary rubbish. And it's just the fact that we humans have such great imagination that when our mind is getting rid of all this stuff that it doesn't want to remember, we construct it into tales and experiences. But I like to think that there's a bit more to it than that, that you can receive in your dreams messages and inspiration. And after all, if it is just your subconscious emptying itself, well, you know, that can tell you something by what you're dreaming about, what your mind considers not worth keeping. So I think there's something in that. And I also think this, I like the ancient ideas of dreams being inspirational, otherworldly inspiration, or a way of communicating with other worlds and other people. So I do like a bit of that element to it.
So have you learned stuff from your dreams that you really don't think you would have ever learned from the waking world?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've had dream experiences which have been quite informative.
Well, give me an example.
Well, there is, in Celtic tradition, there's this thing called the Imrama. And the Imrama is basically a vision quest. So it's not dissimilar to the Native American tradition, where the Celts used to believe that you could go on this Imrama of discovery and communicate with the gods, communicate with the other world, and discover important things. And perhaps the most famous Imrama is the voyage of Brendan. And he took off in a little skin boat with a couple of other monks and sailed to the west. And he landed on many different islands, all of which had interesting different inhabitants, like giants or silver birds or fountains. And eventually he found a land in the west which they recognized as being Tir na n'og, the land of the young, the ancient Celtic land of the young, which is where the original inhabitants of Ireland, the Tuatha De Dána, were supposed to have left when the Irish came and conquered Ireland. The Tuatha De Dána were supposed to have left and gone to live in Tir na n'og, the land of the young. Now, many people, of course, believe that this was America. And centuries later, when the Vikings retraced the steps of Brendan and his monks, sure enough, they discovered Iceland and then Greenland and then America, which they called Vinland. So one of my favorite dreams is when you're dreaming of either flying or sailing, and you're traveling in your dream, and you get to go and visit mysterious places. I always enjoy that kind of dream. I remember one that took me up a mountain and into a cave in the mountain. But for some reason, there was a jungle in the cave in the mountain. So instead of going into a cold, damp, dark place, it was a really bright, sort of cheerful. And perhaps that was a bit of prescience of my trip to Florida, because I had it before I went to Florida. So maybe I was having visions of what it would be like to live in a subtropical paradise where it rains every day at 4 o'clock.
If I remember, that was one of the things that you talked about, that you wanted to come to Florida, or more or less central Florida, and look at the different architecture compared to the architecture of your own homeland. That's one thing that
What I was doing... Yeah, I was actually following the legend of a Welsh prince called Madoc. Now, supposedly in the 11th century, Madoc left Wales and joined with a brother of his who was called Aririd, who was an Irish prince. And they took 10 keels with them, 10 boats, and they sailed out west again. And they supposedly landed in Mobile Bay, Alabama. And if you go to Mobile Bay, there's two islands either side of the bay, and on one of the islands there's a plaque commemorating the landing of Madoc in 1170, 300 years before Columbus.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And if you go to Mobile Public Library, opposite the library there's a genealogy library, and they have a big file that's stuffed full of stuff about this Prince Madoc. And there's a local poet there called Julian Lee Rafeford, who writes extensively on the subject of Madoc, and even had a statue of him erected, I think. And so what happened was, supposedly the Welshmen traveled up the Coosa River, and had a big battle with some Indians, and they lost, and they were driven up the Mississippi-Missouri River until they ended up living in an area just south of the Canadian border, and became known as the Mandans. And when the Mandans were discovered, they found that they had living amongst them people with white skin and blue eyes and red hair. And they used to fish in these, what they called bull boats, which are very like Welsh coracles. They're woven boats, basket weave boats covered in bull hide.
Right.
Make these blue beads. And the only other people in the world that made these blue beads were the monks who inhabited Colley Island, which is just off the west of Wales. And they said that they had a Welsh Bible, which they treasured, which had been brought over the oceans by first man when he came from his homeland to live in America. So there you go. And a great deal of money and time and effort was expended in pursuit of these Welsh Indians, I can tell you.
Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson, in fact, when Thomas Jefferson sent out those two famous explorers, they were actually carrying a map that was made by a Welshman who had gone up the Missouri River looking for the Mandans. So Lewis and Clark's expedition had as its foundation a map that was drawn up by a Welshman called John Evans, who had gone looking for this lost tribe of Welsh-speaking American Indians.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know, I've said it once, I've said it a thousand times. It never surprises me to hear American history brought to us by someone all the way from Wales. You usually surprise me with it because a lot of the stuff that's taught nowadays in our schools that I found out, you know, they don't even teach cursive in schools anymore. I mean, everything's print. That's one thing.
Well, you know, we've got similar problems in our schools. The English school system has just switched to a system where instead of getting A, B, C, D, E, F grade, you now get graded 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 9. So,
really?
Yeah, it's an attempt to match it to the rest of the world somehow. I don't understand how. But
I've never heard of that before.
What people are complaining most about is the fact that they don't teach art and they don't teach music anymore
in
school.
Right.
When I went to school, you could choose a musical instrument and study it. And nowadays, you're lucky if you get to see a piano. And I think it's a real detriment to the education system that people aren't learning art and music anymore. Okay, STEM is important, science, technology, maths, but art is equally important. Because whilst engineering might give you the tools for life, I think art, music, gives you the meaning for life, you know? Without art and music, life would be pretty dull.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. Okay, you told me about the positive thing, that you're able to work with your dreams. Let's go to the dark side just for a second. Do you suffer from nightmares anymore or anything like that?
The commonest nightmare I suffer from is the one where you're being pursued, you know, where somebody is chasing you.
Right.
And I occasionally I have dreams like that where I'm being pursued and you're running and you're trying to get away. And usually you can't really make out who it is that's chasing you. It's usually just some sort of dark, anonymous, shadowy figure. But you know they're coming to get you, and you know you've got to get away. You know you've got to run like hell. And so that kind of dream can be quite exhausting when it comes upon you.
And go ahead.
I've never really had a... I don't have terrifying nightmares anymore, I'm glad to say.
Right.
I used to when I was a kid. I used to have awful nightmares when I was a kid. But I've sort of grown out of those.
Did you ever have the... sleep paralysis or anything like that? I've found out a lot of our listeners actually still suffer from sleep paralysis.
No, it was very interesting listening to that Native American guy tell a story of the shadow that pursued him from his friend's house.
Yeah. The dream within the dream. As soon as he started talking about the dream within the dream.
And you think, oh, I'm awake, and then, no, you're still dreaming. No, that's terrible. No, I'd hate for that to happen. That's never happened.
Yeah, that would actually freak me out. Have you ever studied astral projection or anything like that?
I have indeed studied astral projection, yeah.
Okay, tell me about some of the calming processes that you lead into that with.
I studied with a Celtic shaman.
Okay.
And basically one of the things that we studied was a kind of meditation where you deliberately try to project yourself, and it's a meditation, so you sit and meditate. It's not something you can do sleeping. And what you try and do is project yourself, usually to inhabit the spirit or body of an animal. So you choose a particular animal, so you might choose an eagle, and you sit there meditating and try and project yourself into this eagle so that you can experience flying, for example. Or you might do it at the root of a tree and try and project yourself through the tree all the way up. Imagine yourself, your force, if you like, your energy, climbing all the way through the tree to the leaves at the top of the tree and experiencing the sun and experiencing the rain, that sort of thing. And it's a very interesting exercise in sort of conscious meditation to try and gain sympathy, if you like. What the object of the exercise is to gain sympathy for other living creatures and to try and see things from their point of view. Because part of the basic Celtic shaman's way of life, if you like, is to have an empathy and sympathy for every living creature, not just other humans.
Right.
And so the idea is to see yourself as a part of the whole living experience.
How old were you when you went through this?
I was in my 30s, you know. I came across it rather late. I had sort of been reading on the subject.
Right.
But it's totally different when you meet someone that's a practitioner and they start to give you guidance. That's a completely different kettle of fish. I mean, you can read all you like in a book, but until you actually meet someone that can talk you through things. So to anyone that's interested in Celtic mythology, the best thing you can do is get your ass over here and come see some wild bagelet.
Have you ever actually slept at one of the, like you just said, the megaliths and the sacred areas? How is it actually to sleep in one of those areas?
It's great. There's one near us called Tinkerswood Burial Chamber, and it has a hedge around it of hawthorn. And so at certain times in the spring, this hawthorn will bloom white. And when the moon comes out, the whole place is just illuminated in moonlight. It's absolutely magical. There's a really good book, if you can lay your hands on it, which is called A Gazetteer of the British Isles. And it's published by Julian Cope, the musician who used to be the lead singer of Teardrop Explodes. And what he did was he calls himself the Arch Druid, D-R-O-O-D, and he took himself off around Britain with a camera and a sketchbook, and he visited every ancient monument in Britain that he could find and took photographs and made notes about it, and he published it all in this book. It's an absolutely brilliant book for anyone that's interested in the megalithic history of Britain. I can't recommend it highly enough. I think that's all it's called, The Gazetteer of the British Isles, but it's by Julian Cope. And I had a copy, and I think I lent it to the dude. He gave it back to me, so there you go.
Well, if people are wondering who the dude is, that's he does a... He's not casting stones. This is the dude from... well, he was the dude before The Big Lebowski came out, so
he's
the original dude. Let me get through this real quick before we take off and... call it a bye-bye. This is usually a final question I usually ask people, and this is usually, you know, everybody has their own viewpoint of how they basically want to answer this, but living or dead, if you're going to meet somebody in your dreams, who would you like to meet?
Do you know, I think it would be very interesting to meet Jim Morrison, the poet and singer of The Doors, because he was also very interested in shamanic practice, if you like, and he was born right there in St. Pete, or at least he was brought up by his grandparents in St. Pete, I do believe.
Yep.
I think it'd be very interesting to meet him and have a chat, either him or Timothy Leary.
Either one of those is great picks right there. Not a problem with any one of those. Okay, Tim, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the chance because here on the RPA network, we have listeners that are all over the world. I mean, all the way from Australia to Japan. I don't know how they understand us in English, especially me since I stutter all the time. And, well, you with your English, you're much better with your English than mine. But I'm going to sit back and I want you, this is your time. This is your time to shine. You shined for years here at the station. But I want you to go ahead and give your words of wisdom to the people and let them know what you think. Okay? I'm going to sit back. Let it fly.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, as a proponent of Celtic shamanism, I believe that all the earth is made of energy and that you are part of that energy, and the best thing you can do is to tune into the energy of the world and try and live your life in harmony rather than in opposition. And if you can do that, you'll be doing very well. Hey, I wonder if I play some music, if you can hear it at the other end. Let's
try it, see if it works. What you got?
You hear that?
Yeah, I got that.
This is part of a musical version of the Gnoggin of Aneurin.
Now what's that?
Test Department is the name of the band. And it's a musical setting of the poetry of one of the most ancient bards of Wales. I'm just wondering if he's going to actually do some poetry. Hang on, let's try. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, Pat.
Tim, it's always a pleasure talking to you, man. Especially all the way over there. And especially when you're eating and I'm sitting here in the studio and you know I can't have one bit of food in this studio. Because I'll get yelled at. Let me say this out real quick. Huh?
I had toast with honey. It was delicious.
Was that what that was? That was toast with honey? We don't have no bees left in Florida, dude. They're all dead. Don't forget, on Monday, you have Aaron Hunter with Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast. He reads you your stories and replays them back to you and lets you know basically the world of the paranormal like nobody else really can. And on Tuesday, you have Aaron's Horror Show. That's with Aaron Frail. He basically goes through horror stories, horror movies, horror books. So basically, you really don't have to actually study them yourself, because a lot of stuff coming out of Hollywood in these different areas actually does pretty well suck. And on Wednesday, you have Terry's Mysterious Moments. That's Terry from Texas, and he does like cryptoids. He talks about Bigfoot. He's been talking about different ghost encounters and ghost stories actually lately. So, Terry's the man, and basically the whole network is a very good thing. So, Tim, before I disappear, what are you showing me, a book? Which book is that?
This is the Bardic Source Book.
I don't think anybody else can actually see the book while we're doing this. I'm the only one. Yeah, well, there's no video that I'm going to put on the podcast. So,
it has a quote from Taliesin's Bardic Lore. It says, "I am a bard. I do not vouchsafe my secrets to slaves. I am a guide. I am a judge. If you sow, you will labor." It's basically saying, don't be a farmer, be a poet.
That's how you do it. Hey, Tim, how can they get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you?
I have a page on Facebook. It's ARTHMAWR. That's Arth Maurer, which means the Great Bear.
Arth Maurer. That's your DJ name.
That's my cool DJ name, and that's where I post stuff about heavy metal goings on in both Tampa and over here in Wales. And we're looking forward to Obituary coming for a visit.
Is that a plug?
Well, they're going to be coming to Wales on November the 5th. So I'm trying to persuade them to burn a Guy Fawkes alive on stage.
Lord have mercy. Ladies and gentlemen, what? Go ahead.
I've got Death Metal Dave working on it right now.
Oh, really? You got Dave working on it? That's yeah. That's actually pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I'm sorry, we're bringing in heavy metal business into the world of dreams, but basically that's what I do. I work for a metal radio station. That's how we met. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Tim, say bye.
Goodbye, everyone.
And you've been here in the Sandman Lullaby.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.